Psalm 33, verse 12, if you look at that in your Bible with me, I encourage you today, what we celebrate today on the 4th of July, on July 4th, on Independence Day, is the birth of our nation, but we celebrate it, that birth, with our Declaration of Independence. It was ratified in Congress on the 4th of July, 1776. And so I encourage you to do what I have done for many years, every Independence Day, is actually read that document. It doesn't take long. It's not a long document. It's not like wading through the Constitution. But just read that document, reacquaint yourself with the principles of that document. I want to look at it just a little bit this morning in the time we have left. But we want to start with the Word of God. Psalm 33:12 says, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance." By the way, this doesn't simply apply simply to Israel. This applies to a nation whose God is the Lord. Turn over to Proverbs chapter 14, verse 34. Proverbs 14:34. "Righteousness exalteth a nation," any nation. "Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people." Proverbs 14:34. And turn over to Proverbs chapter 11. In Proverbs chapter 11, we're going to see two verses. It says a city, but the same what applies to a city applies to a nation, this principle. Proverbs 11, verses 10 and 11. Look at Proverbs 11, 10 and 11. "When it goeth well with the righteous, the city rejoiceth. And when the wicked perish, there is shouting. By the blessing of the upright, the city is exalted." Righteousness exalteth a nation. By the blessing of the upright, the city is exalted. "But it is overthrown by the mouth of the wicked." And that's what we see beginning to take place in the United States. But let's look at our heritage. Let's look at the Declaration of Independence from a Christian perspective this morning. And we see the godly principles on which our nation was founded. And so let's go to the Lord in prayer, first of all. Father, give us great help, Lord, as we look to this document. Father, I thank you for the founding of the United States and our birthday, as it were, that day after years of travailing and birth pangs, Father, leading up to July 4th, 1776. Our nation was born on that day, and we recognize it here today. So many years later, we thank you for our godly heritage. Now bless our time together looking at this document and the time we have left. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So, Declaration of Independence. Declaration of Independence starts out in Congress, July 4th, 1776. And you understand, it wasn't signed on that day. It was passed in Congress that day. The men who later signed it, you know the story of John Hancock and all the others who later signed it. The men who signed it, they signed it later, but it was passed in Congress. It was settled in Congress on that day. The unanimous declaration of the 13 United States of America. And it's interesting, right there in that first sentence, the unanimous declaration of the 13 United States of America. The United States of America did not exist. They are incorporating, we are the 13 colonies, we are United States. We are states, we are individual states, we are each sovereign states, we are now united. The United States of America, the unanimous declaration. And oh, if it could be unanimous these days. It says, "When in the course of human events," and I just want to stop right there and think about the thought that went into this document and the principles and ideas that went into this document, "when in the course of human events," you notice the founders thought and believed that human events take a course. Human events flow from one direction, from one place in a certain direction to another place. Human events take a course. Human events move the world, flow from one place to another in a certain direction. Hand me that water. And notice, they speak of human events. And this is different than celestial events that are constant. The sun is going to rise today, tomorrow, and the next day, just as it has every day before. The earth is going to spin the same amount tomorrow that it spun today and yesterday. And the earth is going to move around the sun the same. The lion in Africa is going to eat a gazelle today just like he ate one yesterday. The natural processes are going to continue. The rain is going to fall from the clouds, land on the earth, flow into the sea, evaporate, go back up into the clouds and fall. These are natural events, but there's something different about human events. We've been given by our Creator free will. We've been given by our Creator free choice. The lion can't say, you know what, today I think for the next 6 months I'm going to try and be a vegetarian. The lion can't say that. But humans have been given a free, we can choose to do good, we can choose to do evil. Humans have been given free choice. And so there's human events. Human events are because of our ability to choose, the only of God creatures, God's creatures on earth with that ability, because of our ability to choose as moral creatures, there are human events that are different than other events. So when in the course of human events, it says it becomes necessary for... about that. When in the course of human events it becomes necessary for one people, notice they thought of us as one people on this continent. There were people of British descent. There were people of German descent. There were people of French descent. There were people of African descent. There were people of Native American descent and a mixture of all of those. But they thought of us as one people. As one people. I'm reminded that, and not everyone in America was a Christian, but I am reminded that in Christ there is no East or West. That in Christ there is neither Jew nor Gentile, bond nor free. It becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another, and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitle them. Look at this. The separate and equal station. So the founders believed that we deserve, we are entitled by God to run our own affairs. Separate and equal, not subservient, not a subservient nation, not a subservient colony, but we are entitled to rise to the same level as England. This was a profound idea at the time. We really at this point in the 21st century, we don't think twice about one nation having equal authority on its shores as another nation, but that was a unique idea because there were vassal states, there were empires consisting of subservient kingdoms within that empire, and so forth. But the founder said we have a separate station, we have an equal standing with any other nation. And this standing is according to the laws of nature and the laws of nature's God. Here's one more mention of the Lord God Almighty in our nation's founding. Then they said, when that comes about, when we have to do that, it says, a decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation. This is interesting. We're not just simply going to break away without saying why. Of course, the colonies had tried for years, for decades, to reconcile their differences with England, the mother country. The colonies had tried and had suffered what the Declaration later says, a long train of abuses. The colonies had tried to tried to reconcile. And now they say, we're unable to reconcile, and so here is why we're done. Here is why we are declaring our independence. We're unable to reconcile. Now, this is interesting because this is really this is a biblical principle. If you have a problem with somebody, declare your problem with them. Yeah. Try to reconcile. I when I think about this, I think about people leaving a church and just slinking away. They get mad. And they just slink away. They just hide. They just walk away. They're mad. They're done. They don't try to reconcile. They're just done. They don't try. They don't declare that. Nobody knows why they left. Years ago, a family left a church I was a part of. And some guys on their visitation, they went and knocked on the door. And the husband, he answered the door. He said, oh, yeah, we don't go to your church anymore. And the fella, one of the deacons, he said, why is that? Why did you leave? You never even told us, you never tried, you know, why'd you leave? And this man, it's so interesting, this man, he said, well, I really don't know. We'd have to ask my wife. Well, the founders, they wanted to tell King George, you don't have to ask our wife. This is why we're leaving. This is why we're done. But do so without causing further offense. Here's the reason why. It's only natural. A decent respect to the opinions of mankind require that we declare why we're leaving. Now, here's the part of the declaration that we all know and love. We hold these truths to be self-evident. Do you realize there are truths that are self-evident? Do you realize there are things that people are born knowing? And if they don't know them when they're born, they figure them out shortly afterward. Self-evident truths. We find some of those in Romans chapter 1. Turn with me to Romans chapter 1, verse 18. Familiar to us. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold, who suppress, who hold down, and that's that word hold there, who hold the truth in unrighteousness. They know the truth, but they suppress it. How do we know they know the truth? Verse 19. Because that which may be known of God, what you can know about God, certain things that you can know about God, is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. You can look around and you can see trees, flowers, sky, sun, moon, stars. And clearly and obviously, there's a self-evident truth. God created those things. There is a God. He made this. We didn't just spring into existence from out of nowhere. There's a creator. Being understood by the things that are made. So the invisible things of God are made manifest by the visible things He's made. Even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. And so there are some truths that are self-evident. There are some things that are obvious. And what we have in society today is running away from self-evident truth. That you can look around, and it doesn't take long. You're probably about 14, 15 months old before you realize there's a difference between boys and girls. It's self-evident truth. There are some truths that are self-evident. And the founders recognized that. Now here's some of the self-evident truths that they recognized. Number one. That all men are created equal. Now, this was a pioneering concept in 1776. We take it for granted today. We take it, and this, they weren't even applying it to race. It certainly has application to the different families of the human family. Certainly has application to the different people groups that all men are created equal. But their application was even broader than that. Understand that the idea of the day was that certain people, by virtue of their bloodline, had the right to rule over other people. The royal family, for example, had the blood right because they were descended from kings. They had the right to be kings. That was the idea of the day. That was the common idea of the day, was that certain people, because of their lineage, they had the right to rule over other people. And the founders came along and said, it should be obvious to anybody that that's not the case.
Right.
That all men are created equal. That you don't have... You know, I get so tired of seeing news about the royal family like I'm supposed to care. I thought we passed this document and fought a war so we didn't have to care about them anymore. I don't care what Princess Meghan Markle and Prince... I didn't watch the royal wedding. I don't care. All men are created equal. I guess I care about them equally as much as I care about anybody because they have an eternal soul that can go to heaven or hell. But they're not in my news feed. All men are created equal. Now, that's a founding principle of the United States. That's a founding principle. I do want to say, the United States, we understand the United States hasn't always lived up to that principle. We understand that. We know that. But we also know no country before ever even announced that principle. Yes, there has been racism in the history of America. But there's been racism. Racism is a part of the history of the world, always has been, and the United States of America is the first nation to come along and say, here's a principle we can live by to get rid of it eventually. Yes, there has been slavery in the history of America. But slavery was the norm around the world for the entire history of the human race. The United States of America is the first nation to come along and say, by this principle, we can get rid of it. So here's a self-evident principle. Number one, that all men are created equal. It ought to be self-evident that they are created. They're created. But they're created equal. Now, here's what that word equal means. Let's be sure we understand what it means and what it doesn't mean. It doesn't mean everybody's born with the same gifts, talents, and abilities. It doesn't mean everybody's born with the same, born into the same station in life. Some people are born into rich families. Some people are born into poor families. It does mean that everybody has the same value and worth before God, and therefore before the law, before mankind, before you and me. It does mean that everybody, though they may not have all the same opportunities, everybody has a chance to make something out of their life. Everybody has a chance to rise above where they started. Nobody is holding them down.
Right.
Amen. Are created equal. The only thing that's holding them down is so often themselves and their own attitudes. So here's a self-evident truth that all men are created equal. Here's another self-evident truth that they are endowed by their capital C creator with certain unalienable rights. I want you to understand, we probably won't get much farther than this point this morning, but I want you to understand your rights do not come from the government. Your rights come from your capital C creator. I want to make that clear because somebody will erroneously say, and they think they're being patriotic, they think that they're announcing a right, somebody will erroneously say, well, the First Amendment gives me the right to freedom of religion, freedom of... No, the First Amendment doesn't give you anything. God gave you that right. The First Amendment protects that right. It assumes you already have. It doesn't say the people shall have the right. It says the right of the people shall not be abridged or infringed. The thing. The thing? Well, you're quoting Biden? You know the thing. You're a dog-faced pony soldier. Those rights are given you by your Creator.
Amen.
Now, if the First Amendment gave you that right, then another amendment can take it away.
Right.
If the government gave you that right, then the government can take it away. What our Constitution, what our Bill of Rights recognizes, what our founding document says, that right is given you by your Creator. And the government simply recognizes that you already have that right and binds itself to not abridge that right. That makes sense? Notice that it says certain unalienable rights. What's that mean? What's unalienable mean? Cannot be given up, cannot be forfeited, cannot be stripped away from you. You cannot be alienated from your rights. That's what unalienable means. And so there are certain unalienable rights. You cannot be alienated from your rights. And now it says that among these rights, by the way, so this is not our life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. That's not a full list of our rights. We have certain unalienable rights. Among these rights, we've enumerated some here, life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness, but that's not all. This is including, but among means including, but not limited to. So we've been given by our Creator life. The government can't just willy-nilly for no reason at all take that away. Can't take it away just for the promotion of the greater good. You understand that? Or women's health care. Yeah, this abortion is not health care. Cannot take it away for the greater good. That's what communism doesn't understand. Socialism doesn't understand. It says you can take away your life for the greater good. 100 million people in the 20th century alone murdered by their own government for the greater good of socialism. 100 million people. Life, liberty. It should be clear. If God has given us free will, God even gave Adam and Eve free will in the garden to choose good or bad. If God has given us free will, He's given us all free will. He's given us liberty. And He's given us the ability, to pursue happiness. Even, by the way, He's given you the ability, to pursue things other than Him. He wants you to pursue Him. But He's given you the liberty to pursue things other than Him. Now, we understand in America, we're not to use our liberty for an occasion to the flesh. We understand that as Christians. But these are rights that are unalienable, that it cannot be taken away. And then they said, here's another self-evident truth. That to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men. Stop right there. According to that phrase, what is the purpose of government? To secure our rights. Government is to protect life. Government was the very second human institution ordained by God. What are the human institutions ordained by God? The family was the very first. Genesis chapter 2. In the garden, before sin. By the way, if sin hadn't come in, that would have been the only institution God needed to ordain for human relationships. We would all be, all mankind would be brothers under the fatherhood of God, if not for sin. But after sin, God had to institute human government. What was the first institution of human government after the flood, Genesis 9:6, what was the first law God laid down for human government? Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. For in the image of God created he man. Government was instituted to protect life. Government is instituted, they say it's self-evident that government is instituted to secure our rights, including life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That's the purpose of government. People don't exist to serve government. Government exists to serve people. Amen. Governments are instituted among men. Now watch this. Deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. We understand government was instituted by God. And God has given authority to government. And the powers that be are ordained of God. And the founders wisely understood that government can only work if the people that are governed submit to it. A government doesn't work in a nation that's constantly at civil war. Government doesn't work in a nation that's constantly at anarchy in the people. Government can only work effectively if the people submit to it. If the people are constantly trying to overthrow the government, not consenting to the government, it doesn't work. Deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. We don't have time to go on, but I just want to say this. I had to memorize we hold these truths from there to this point, up through this point in the fifth grade. And it wasn't until years later when I read it for myself that I realized the government-run school did not teach me this next phrase, that when any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or abolish it. The government-run school didn't teach me that part. But that's one of the self-evident truths that our founders recognized. That people have certain rights, and when government has become tyrannical, when government has ceased doing what God created it to do, protecting our rights, when government has ceased doing that, it's the right of the people to alter that government or to abolish that government and institute new government and so on, what it says. But very interesting, the principles of the Declaration of Independence. But I want to remind you how we started this morning was Psalm 33:12. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. I encourage you later today, tonight, go home, find it on the internet. Read the whole document. Read the whole document and read it with fresh eyes. Read it with eyes. What are the principles, the founding principles that guided the founding of our nation right here in this document? All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you for our time together today. We thank you, Lord God, for America. We thank you, Lord God, for our founding documents. And we thank you, Lord God, that we can look at it today with fresh eyes. And now, Lord God, bless the church services today. Guide and direct that you would be honored and glorified in what takes place. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.